Houston.
From the biggest stages in golf.
64-foot, 5-inch putt to win his first major championship. That was storybook stuff, Gabe.
To the courses right here in Wisconsin.
Made sure we had plenty of chicken salad.
She gave me a member's service.
She most certainly did.
Salad.
Again, the guy at the front gate thought you were an employee. Maybe she thought you were an employee out here playing as well.
We're talking majors, tour drama, and the rounds we wish we didn't have to post. This is On the Tee, alongside PGA Tour Live Stephen Watson. Here's Gabe Neitzel.
Are you ready, Stephen?
Am I ready?
Yeah, are you ready?
For what?
I mean, we've kind of avoided a lot of, because it is 18 months away. A lot of Ryder Cup talk.
You know, I'm actually surprised you didn't bring this out on the season debut.
Well, we didn't have a captain.
Do you have a countdown clock next to your bed?
I'm
worried about you in the Ryder Cup. I think you put a little too much into it.
Yeah, again, this is, as discussed on this show last year, if you happen to miss it, go check out the ESPN Wisconsin app and any previous Ryder Cup episodes where I believe I declared that I cared more than Keegan Bradley about it, despite him being the captain, because he just didn't do anything.
Are you here to tell us that you're the next captain?
I wish! I know I could do a great job.
Yeah, in your schedule.
Oh, I would give up everything. I would give it everything. Whatever I would have to give up for the next 18 months to try to get this thing on track, I'd do it. Because that's the problem with
Could
Team
I
USA.
Be your vice captain?
Absolutely.
I'm in.
All right. Vice
captain's the best gig, right? You get to drink the nice wine and you don't have to pay for it.
The problem, I guess, here is now we're campaigning for 2029 because we have a captain for Team USA finally.
Yeah. Hazeltine sounds
for 2027. Nice. Yeah, Hazeltine. It's not that far away.
Yeah, we can be there.
Easy to go up and do the scouting trips.
Although Ireland does sound kind of cool.
Yes, it does. The problem is Team USA's got no chance. They got no chance.
So we have our sacrificial lamb.
That's basically what I think Jim Furyk is.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like to me. And the problem is, I guess, Stephen, is there aren't any better options. Like, because Team USA, and the way that the PGA of America runs this thing, and honestly, it could also be a core problem with the PGA of America, the way they have so much leadership turnover by design, because they're electing, a different club pro as the presidents every so often. Sometimes it's somebody that they decide to hide for the final 18 months of his presidency, the way they've done with Don Ray, who is nowhere to be found. After the video came out of him last year singing Eminem at one of the post parties, him doing karaoke to Lose Yourself, and also really not admonishing the fans for the poor behavior at Bethpage Black last year. Haven't really seen a lot of Don recently. Yeah. So
Don loves himself some Don, too.
Oh, nobody loves himself more than Don loves himself.
He loses himself often in the moment.
But The problem is Team Europe has a system.
Yes.
They have, and yes, they both sides have lost a lot of potential Ryder Cup captains because of the whole LIV thing, which I guess we could get into a little bit later because it's apparently not full steam ahead, like their CEO had said. But they were able to figure out something, and they have had a system in place. And yes, they were bummed probably when Henrik Stenson decided to go to LIV and give up his captaincy. But Luke Donald stepped in, and now Luke Donald's going to be a 3-time captain. And they have a system in place, and they know what they're doing when they run it. And whoever takes over after Luke Donald's going to keep running it. Team USA just keeps on freaking out and panicking when something goes awry, and they make terrible decisions like, what if we bring in Keegan Bradley? And Keegan was terrible. He was awful. No, he was terrible.
He was set up to fail. I don't know.
100%. He was not put in a position to succeed.
Correct.
He also did nothing to help himself succeed.
Because he wanted to play, which is why it was a problem from the beginning.
Yes.
It was my one fear from the moment they announced it.
Yes.
I know that guy loves this event.
Yep.
But he wants to play.
Yeah.
And there is going to be a crossroads at some point during the tour season
when he has to make a decision, and it only got harder and harder throughout the entire season.
But like the mistakes, and again, the thing that drives me nuts about this event is Team USA's refusal to accept that Team Europe's actually doing something that's giving them advantage. They just make more putts.
No, it's the American ego. We have the better players.
They just make more putts.
We have better players and higher ranked in the official World Cup.
That's what they do.
What was that impression?
Of every American that has been a part of this process that's just said, oh, they just made more putts.
You sounded like a Sesame Street character, though.
And it just drives me insane, Stephen. Because, yeah, they made more putts, but they also put in the work. That's like, man, you know, tonight in this NBA playoff game, they just made more baskets than us. Yeah. I don't know what you want. Well, no, because they did the preparation work. Like, the mistakes that were made in terms of setup, in terms of pairings, in terms of who is teeing off on what holes an alternate shot. Basic crap. Team USA has, like, they got it all wrong last year with Keegan. So while Keegan wasn't put in a good position, he also didn't, like, help himself. So with Furyk, at least what I'm hoping here is he is able to bring back, because the task force was supposed to mean something, right? The task force, when they brought it back, or when they brought it after the disaster of 2014 and Tom Watson, the task force was supposed to be, everybody kind of goes through the cycle. You're an assistant captain, you kind of learn the ropes, and then eventually you become a captain, right? And you kind of circle and cycle your way through. And they've just thrown that out so many times and just don't stick with the plan. I'm hoping this is them returning to some sort of a plan to try to get this thing back on the tracks for 2029. I've given up on 2027. Going on the road.
Oh, come on. You're being way too hyperbolic about this.
Going on the road and beating that European team that's already, by the way, Dodo's already their assistant captain, who's the evil genius over there. Dodo has already made how many visits over there and is plotting how to set that bad boy up that's going to make it an advantage for Team Europe. I'm hoping that this gets back to, okay, now you have Furyk. Now you've got a couple of more assistant captains coming through, and this is starting to set up a process, so it's just kind of plug and play. Here's the statistics that we use. Here are where we might be able to have an advantage. Okay, if they have an advantage here, here's what we can do. And I'm hoping that's what, going back to Jim Furyk, who did fail in 2018, some of it's on him, some of it's not, because of the captain's picks he ultimately made. Like, his hands were kind of tied. You know, Bryson had just won two playoff events. He was terrible. Tiger had just won the Players the Tour Championship. You ain't leaving Tiger home after he won for the first time in how many ever years. And Tiger was clearly exhausted by the time that he got over there. Phil Mickelson was one of the other, and Phil was, I believe Phil, was this the Ryder Cup that he conceded the match when the ball was in the middle of the air? I believe that's a thing that happened in 2018.
I didn't know that story.
Oh, yeah.
We try not to remember Paris.
Well, they were playing alternate shot, and I think he was playing with Bryson. I think Bryson rinsed one, and then Phil hit one, and he knew it was going in the water, and just turned and said, yep, that's it.
Better than Ricky giving the putt up
in the middle of the year. Yeah, and Tony Finau actually played well as the fourth and final captain's picks, because there were only four captain's picks back then. And again, I think so. Some of that was, he had some bad pairings, all those sorts of things. So what I'm hoping here for, Stephen, is that Jim Furyk, while I don't give him much of a chance to win in 2027, will bring them back to at least having some sort of a process to bring this thing back to being a somewhat competitive event. Because the Europeans, outside of a miracle comeback that made the thing close in singles, have been beating our ass for quite some time.
They have figured out alt shot better than the U.S. I think that's where it needs to start. I mean, the United States needs to find a way to just figure out four ball or foursomes. And that's rule number one. That if you look at the statistics, Europe has dominated the U.S. in alt shot. Singles, I would look at the history of this. And I think U.S. has pretty strong singles record.
Sure, but the problem is, Stephen, I'll tell you what, the Magic are really good in the fourth quarter, but when you enter the fourth quarter down 30, it doesn't really do you much.
What? Come on, this year they were down 30.
Sure, but I mean, they were really good in singles in Europe the year before. It didn't matter, because they were down by so many. Like, their failure in the team golf aspect, it's almost, I'd almost want to go like, guys like Cantlay, who I don't know if one, I don't know if he actually wants to be there.
He won't. He won't be there.
If he doesn't qualify,
unless he
like,
finally wins a major.
Yeah, but like, and I know they've got automatic qualifying. I wish, I almost wish they would do 12 captain's picks and have 12 dudes who actually want to be there and give themselves into this event. Because that's part of the problem for Team USA, too. I'd rather have a Mav McNealy, a Max Homa, some of these players that are lesser than and down on the list that I know want to be there and would buy into the events instead of just wanting to do their own thing.
Well, if you look at his President's Cup captain's picks, all you have to do is go 1 through 12 on the points list, and that's who Furyk's going to roll out there.
That's the problem.
He went chalk at President's Cup. I think U.S. always has a chance. Is it going to be hard in Ireland? Of course. Are they the underdogs? Of course. But maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need a little like, dose of humility.
I don't know if the Europeans are going to have one of their best players in Jon Rahm, and the USA is still a heavy underdog. At least they should be. I haven't looked at the odds because hopefully no sports
so much
book is
can happen.
Bets.
I mean, I think we maybe fell in love with some of the Ben Griffin stories a little too hard last year.
Yeah, I mean, Ben qualified, though. You know, or Ben earned his spot, though,
yeah,
right?
I think that's what makes it difficult with the U.S. is there's so much good up-and-coming talent that there's a lot more turnover on the roster. Whereas Europe, it just, I mean
they ran back the same, well.
Except for Højgaard.
Yeah, they just swapped out Højgaards last year. That's all they did.
But at Whistling Straits, a lot of those guys were making their debut, and they won in historic fashion. So, I don't know. I'm still a believer in
because
the players got to play. Like, the captain's thing, it the process, I agree, matters. But the actual captain in place,
it does matter.
It does matter, but having the right team around the captain and having the right analytics group and having the right camaraderie and
knowing
what buttons to push with all the information
today,
aura, right? Having the right aura.
Oh, dear Lord. I would expect Strofe to try to pull off something like that. Not you. What are you doing?
They win with their confidence.
Yeah.
They walk in there saying, we might not be the highest ranked players, but we have better camaraderie, and this means more to us.
But
that's where it needs to get back to more than anything.
And look, I probably give too much credit to Strick because he's our guy. He's a Wisconsin guy. It happened but he set that team up for success. Hey, I'm going to limit the exposure that you have. You know, whatever you need to do to get yourself ready, I'm going to make sure I'm going to be able to do that as close as I possibly can. Right? And I don't think Zach Johnson did that. I don't think Keegan Bradley did that. So that's where, again, having the right captain, having the right people in place to try to take as much pressure off those guys is important. And I think that Furyk can do that, again, going on the road and however, because again, the setup stuff that happened at Bethpage Black, I promise you, is not going to happen with Team Europe.
I agree.
Like, they are going to set up that course to give themselves every single advantage they possibly can to whatever that team's ultimately going to look like. And they're going to set it up. So it's harder for the Americans. And again, I think Furyk obviously knows that, but it's okay. How can we counterpunch on that even just a little bit? And I think it's, again, I think it goes back to the selection of the team as well. Like you said, the guys have to play, but they have to want to play. And I think that's a part of Team USA's issue.
Yeah.
Is some of the guys show up because they're supposed to, and they show up because they think that they want to, but they don't actually want to. And they don't play well. But again, just like Cam Young last year, how the hell, like, they had to be talked into Cam Young playing more sessions last year. Like, anybody with two eyes that was watching the event, like, oh, can't sit this guy. Guess what Keegan was going to do? Sit his ass.
Yeah. It's kind of like the problem in baseball right now, where a lot of managers are too analytic driven instead of having feel and finding that right balance.
And the analytics are great. They're there. You have to use them as a tool. I don't even think Keegan used him as a tool because he had wrong guys teeing off at wrong times. So I don't even think he looked at the damn packet that he was given by whoever's responsible that for Team USA.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that this at least gets them back to some sort of normalcy. And again, here's what we do. Here's what our process is. And, you know, again, maybe they get some new guys. I know there's not any inspiring names or choices. you know, that are out there. But I don't know if he brings in Freddie Couples or Stuart Sink or any of the other guys that
Strick,
were floated.
Maybe Strick would be a vice.
Strick could be a vice again.
But I guarantee Gary Woodland is going to be there.
Yes.
I guarantee Brant Snedeker is going to be there.
Yes.
Kevin Kisner probably, unless he's on the call.
No,
of
thank
it.
You. I'm good on Kis.
But those are the guys who they see as the next wave of
I hope
of leaders.
Kis is not a leader.
Kis is probably talking his way out of it, unfortunately.
if not already.
Yeah, correct. But, man, I set me up for Gary Woodland
in
Minnesota. I'm here for it.
And I hope that Gary gets that opportunity. I think he would. I think he is somebody that people would listen to, but I think he's got to go through the process. You can't just, like, thrust him in there.
He was a vice captain.
And he was a vice captain, but again, maybe go through the captain, you know, as a vice captain with somebody who actually pretends to know what they're doing.
And then you got Brant's going to be the President's Cup captain this upcoming fall.
I wonder if they would have thrown him in if he wasn't going to be the president, because it's just way too hard to do the President's Cup this fall and then turn around and have that ready to go for next fall, right?
Yeah.
Because Team Europe's already putting in the work, so you need somebody who's working now to try to get that team ready.
Long story short, it was a safe pick. I'm fine with safe.
Yes, I am.
I'm fine with getting back to safety.
Yes, I am fine. Yes, and that's where I'm at. Because who else are you going to pick? Like, who else? If somebody can tell me somebody that would have been definitively better than Jim Furyk, I'm all ears. But I think, again, it's back to safety. It's back to normalcy. Let's try to actually put together an actual process and know who's a good captain and who's not. Like, Zach Johnson should have never been a captain. That he should have been weeded out through the vice captain process. Like, yeah. We're good, Zach.
And
we're going to give
Keegan
somebody
wasn't given a chance.
No, because they panicked. The right way. And again, if we come back to Keegan 12 years from now, cool.
Yeah.
Because he's done playing and he goes through the process and all of that. I'm fine with that. But again, it was just a disaster from the start last year, and I'm hoping that that does not continue to
just blame the New York fans.
That wasn't part of the solution, I'll tell you that.
Didn't but help.
That is our opening segment. It's all about the drive. It's presented by our friends at Ewald Automotive Group. And the Ewald Automotive Group 62-year anniversary sale, it is here this month. We are celebrating with anniversary savings on 1,400 cars, trucks, and SUVs. Get payments as low as $250 a month. Financing as low as 0% plus 2 years of included maintenance on us. The Ewald Automotive Group's 62-year anniversary sales. Happening events. The event is happening right now, this month, at every Ewald location. Just go to ewaldauto.com. Steven's got a question for me, part of our One Call, That's All, that's coming up next on The Tee.
Back to The Course and On The Tee with Gabe and Steven after this on 94.5 ESPN.
A quick shout-out, because right now, if you haven't been paying attention, the 58th PGA Professional Championship is happening out at Bandon. And so the top 20 that finish in this event go on to play in the PGA Championship, which you will be a part of the coverage for ESPN+. I know you're looking forward to that. But I do want to give a shout out to David Bach, who is the assistant out at Whistling Straits. He is very good in these section events here in Wisconsin, whenever they have those going on, typically on Mondays. And by looking at the conditions right now out of Bandon on the Golf Channel, looks like the winds are whipping today, so the scores have not been very low. But right now, David is tied for second. He is one shot off the lead. He is among a group that is three under par. He is just one shot off the lead. So very good opportunity for David to potentially be playing in the PGA Championship here in a couple of weeks at Aronimink.
Might have to get him on the show when I'm out at Aronimink. He's one of the PGA professionals who advances.
I mean, we might have to get him on, yeah.
Love
maybe
that
before
for
that, yeah. So we're
finished strong
for him. Yeah, finished strong. So this is the third round. The fourth round is tomorrow. So still have a little bit of work to do for our guy David.
You can get four seasons in one day, but he's at Whistling Straits. He knows that feeling.
He's very, very a little bit bigger of body of water.
Yeah.
that he's playing on right now. But again, similar feel at Whistling Straits. It is time for Gerber Law Offices One Call. That's all. Gerber Law Offices serving the people of Wisconsin for more than 35 years. Wisconsin's premier injury firm. Family firm, winning team. Gerber Law Offices, One Call, That's All. Steven, you've got the question for us today.
Yeah, we're 15 weeks in. That is halfway through the PGA Tour regular season, Gabe.
Mm-hmm.
So we got 15 weeks to go. Then we've got the FedEx Cup playoffs. Three majors left. Three signature events still left. So
really? That's it? Just three Siggies?
Yeah.
They've got them, set, and two of them are back-to-back weeks.
Here. Very front-loaded here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Who's been the best golfer through 15 weeks?
Okay, so now that's a different question than what I thought you were going to ask. Who the best golfer has been?
What question did you think I
who's had the best 15? Who's had the best season so far? Which I think is a different question than who the best golfer is. Because Rory's had the best season as a winner of a major championship, you know, elevating him to a sixth major and putting him on a different tier. But in terms of who's playing the best golf, I mean, it's the guy who's won three times.
See, I think the guy who won three times is having a better year than Rory.
No.
He won a major. Yeah, of course. It's a lot of ball game left.
Guess what Matt Fitzpatrick would trade his three wins for, even though he just got his brother a PGA Tour card.
Yeah. I don't know.
He'd look at Alex and go, hey, Alex, right now you're in line to get a tour card through the DP World Tour. I'm taking a green jacket. Sorry, pal. And I think his brother Alex would understand.
Maybe if he won the Players and didn't choke down the stretch, he would have the fifth major. I mean, the year that Matt Fitzpatrick has had is unbelievable. He's up to number three in the world. Three wins, Valspar, RBC Heritage, and the Zurich with his brother.
That's the crazy part.
Runner up the Players.
And I know we talked about this around the Players, Stephen, but with him, again, thinking about where he was not even a full calendar year ago, when the PGA Tour schedule had come to a close and we had about a month between the end of the tour season and the Ryder Cup. And he wasn't going, like, we didn't know if he was going to be on that team. He didn't know if he was going to be on that team. Luke Donald wanted to give him every opportunity to be on that team, but he had to go earn it by playing in DP World Tour events. He earned it, got on that team, was a big part of their win, and now has carried that momentum into, and again, this is for a U.S. Open winner, probably the, it's not probably, it is the best stretch of golf in his life.
Yeah, he has five PGA Tour wins. Three of them have come in the last four events. It's an incredible run that he's on right now, and I understand your logic of saying Rory because he won the Masters, but he's played in five events this year. Like, we got to see that guy play some more golf.
Guess what? I won't get used. I would not expect that.
I know. But that's why I'm going to give it to Matt Fitzpatrick, because I think the stretch of golf that he has put together this year has been the most impressive.
I still lean towards Rory because the majors are the only thing that truly matter.
To him.
So,
at this point in his career,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, but still, the majors are the thing that are that every golfer is ultimately judged
I'll
by.
Disagree with you on the, I don't claim to know Matt at all, but just watching their press conference after the win in Zurich,
yeah,
getting your younger brother a tour card into every signature event, into the majors for this year, the Players next year, like, man, that's some legacy
I am not saying it's not cool, because it is. And I don't understand the people complaining about, like, Alex getting a card off of this. Like,
he may have already been on his way to getting the card by the end of this year.
It's not, again, he's already won on the DP World Tour. He's a really good player.
Yeah.
He's a really good player and was about to earn his way on in a different way. And now, again, good for him that he gets into the three more signature events that you had mentioned. He gets into the PGA Championship. I do not believe it does get him in the U.S. and British. He still has to qualify
correct.
For.
Yep.
And it doesn't get him in, because it's a team event, it doesn't get him into Augusta next year, so he still has some work left to do there. I wouldn't doubt that he can get himself into the Masters the way he had been playing in the DP World Tour. And as cool as it is to get your brother a tour card and all those things, it's a green jacket, man.
Yeah.
I think, again, I don't know Matthew Fitzpatrick either, but I'm willing to bet that he would give up these three wins for a green jacket.
Yeah. I just meant the sentimental brother part of it.
Which is, again, such a cool story. But
is it crazy that Scotty's not even in this conversation, or Cameron Young's not even in this conversation right now? I mean, Cam Young, just to rattle off his resume this year, winner of the Players. Last five starts, T7, T3, win, T3, T25, with the T3 coming at the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Like Matthew Fitzpatrick, has not missed a cut this year. And then Scottie Scheffler won the American Express. He has five top four finishes this year, including second at the Masters, second at the RBC Heritage. Tied for third at Phoenix, tied for fourth at Pebble.
Yeah, look, he has been playing better golf as of late. As you mentioned, his last two, lost in a playoff and almost got into a playoff.
Yeah.
At the Masters. But his form going into the Masters, for him, was average. Because, yeah, he was getting a lot of those top 10s, a couple of top 5s.
Yeah, Bay Hill kind of broke him.
By kind of backdooring. Because he would play so terribly early, and then he would play, like, again, he would win the tournament if it was a 54-hole tournament and you throw out, you know, your worst score. But he would just dig himself a hole and have to dig himself out. So, for Scotty, again, it's probably unfair expectations, but that's what he's done. That's what he's done to himself. It's what, when you're the best player in the world and it's not even close, the expectations are higher. So for him, he's now, I think, on the right track. But it was, and he was even playing better than he was last year when he was dealing with the hand injury after the ravioli incident, which is just a funny thing to say out loud. But
the fact that the ravioli incident and he was in jail, it just still always kills me.
In jail, getting ready for his round. Like doing some calisthenics to get his body ready.
Still made his tee time. Still with a little help from the PGA of America.
A little bit of help, was able to make his tee time. But because the expectations for him are so high, and yes, we've only played one major at this point, and he finished second in it. One win at the Amex, no signature event wins, and he's skipping the signature event next week.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that mattered the most right now for Scotty are the majors. He's in that same category as Rory. How many can you collect?
If you're headed to Pottawatomie this week, I'd buy big on Scottie Scheffler stock right now, leading into the PGA.
Yeah.
As that's going to be his next event. I know all this analytics talk that we had for Ryder Cup. I've got some analytics on Scottie for you. He leads the PGA Tour right now in strokes gained total, scoring average, birdie average, bogey avoidance, par four scoring, round three scoring average, round four scoring average. Mm-hmm. And he's finished no worse than 24th this year. So yeah, he is leading the PGA Tour in strokes gained total.
Do you have his first round scoring average there?
I don't.
Okay. Because that, I mean, honestly, that's
we don't talk about Bruno.
That's the one thing that's held him back.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and I'm not shocked he leads in third and fourth round scoring average, because that's how he's gotten these great finishes. So you know it's still there. It's not like the skill is disappeared, but it does disappear.
He's kind of like what Rory was a couple years ago.
Yeah. Where just for whatever reason in the first round, it's just gone. So Scotty very well could be the player of the year. He could pick off two of these next three, much like he did last year in terms of major championships. And I would not be shocked. But at this point, Rory got a major. He did not. Matthew Fitzpatrick has won three times. He's won once. He didn't even win. I mean, he was a non-factor in the players, where the other person that you had mentioned in Cameron Young went out and won. And played fantastic on that Sunday. So I would probably have him behind Cameron Young at this point. He'd be fourth.
Scotty?
Yes.
Crazy. I'm just thinking about last golf season. This time last year, Rory had already won Pebble.
Yep.
He'd already won Players.
Yep.
And he had already won the Masters.
Correct.
And then Scotty won two majors at the end of the year.
Yeah. And then
it made for a debate.
And with Rory, I think Rory's going to have a stronger second half this year than he did last year.
Yeah.
It felt like, especially now in retrospect, he was skating. He was on cloud nine. And if you've listened to some of the interviews, and I think he talked about this one, that he did a half hour long interview with the Friedag, with Kevin Van Valkenburg. I believe it's on YouTube. You can find it on the Friedag Golf YouTube page. But he kind of talked about, okay, he had finally completed the career Grand Slam, which was such a relief. And it took him a minute to kind of find that motivation again.
Yeah.
And I think he has found it again, as evidenced by going out and winning another Masters. And I think he's going to have that motivation going forward. And I think that's why, again, the only thing that matters right now to Rory are the majors, which is why he's skipping so many tour events. Because he doesn't care. Whatever. He is kind of like Tiger back in the mid-2000s. Tiger cared about the tour. But only in that, how does it help me win more majors? And that's the way that Rory, especially after the tour, I know it's new leadership, but the tour left him hanging out to dry.
Yep.
Many a time. Why would I put my neck out there again for you? I'm going to use you just like you used me. The only thing that are important are the majors. And I think that's Rory's attitude.
That's why Rory's not a Cadillac this week in Miami, and that's why he will be playing at Truist the following week leading up to the PGA.
Rory McIlroy Country Club.
Yes. Yeah, on the hat right here.
At Quail Hollow. Although I was kind of, I don't know if you remember it, but I remember it vividly. And I think it was the last time they were at Doral in 2015, when Rory McIlroy threw his 3-iron into the blue monster, the big blue lake that's there in 2015.
That clip has aggregated a lot on my socials this week.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
They know my algorithm well.
It was a pretty perfect club throw, though. Like, he even got, like, the club in the slot before he threw it in the lake. That's what I vividly remember about that.
Yeah.
Well, but again, not shocking. If that's what that place made him do, that he would not show up as it's back on the tour schedule once again.
Yeah. Well, all he cares about is Aronim Inc.
Yeah. And because, again, for him, it's all about picking off major championships. A lot of things to cover. We talked a little bit about the Fitzpatrick brothers, but a lot of other things happening in the world of golf. The week that was is coming up next on the tee.
No ifs, ands, or buts. There's more on the tee with Gabe and Steven coming up on 94.5 ESPN.
When the game matters, where you play matters even more. Wisconsin Country Club, you get a championship-level golf experience right here in Milwaukee with nearly a century of tradition built behind it. But what really sets it apart is everything beyond the course. Pool days, tennis, pickleball, fitness, great dining, programs your kids will actually look forward to. Great kids' pool there, by the way. It's not a pieced-together lifestyle. It's all in one place. As a member myself, I can tell you it's definitely where I go to play golf, connect, and spend real time with my family. The Wisconsin Country Club, a better way to experience the game and everything around it. Schedule your private tour today and mention Good Karma for exclusive promotions. Got out there today, Gabe. Course looks good. Best it's looked this time of year.
I have not been out there in over a week. I'm hoping, I'm going to be in Florida next week, so I'm hoping to get in at least one more round at the old WCC.
Well, it's going to be like a high of 45 for the rest of the week, so that'll make Florida feel really nice.
Yeah, and it's going to be high of like 89 most of the time that I'm down there. In the world of golf, I know we touched on it a little bit there, but it's still such an incredibly cool story of Matthew and Alex Fitzpatrick playing together. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with their story just based on the Full Swing episode that was done on them, the opening season a few years ago now of Full Swing. And to see Alex just continue to grind, again, be in a really good spot on the DP World Tour, get the sponsor exemption in here to play with his brother. They were the favorites. It wasn't smooth the entire time, but for them to be able to go out there and win it the way that they did was really cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, put Matthew Fitzpatrick in any bunker in the world and he's going to make a memory, right? What he did on the 72nd hole, that bunker shot to set up his brother for a tap-in, for them to win and his brother to get his tour card. I mean, that was
so much spin on
that
bad boy.
Storybook stuff. I mean, I thought his 9-iron at Brookline was going to be the best bunker shot he ever hit in his life. Probably still is, just given it was to win a U.S. Open.
It was to win a major.
But that one, that had some sauce on it, man. That was textbook type of, I'm going to spin this sucker out of here.
I would be
curious. I've never seen a ball have side spin like that.
Out of a bunker, no.
Yeah. That was crazy.
I would be curious to know which one he felt more pressure over. Because again, you're trying to win the U.S. Open, but also like a lot of tour pros will talk about a lot of times when they feel the most pressure is when they're trying to make a cut. Because when you're trying to make a cut, you don't really have it, right? And you're trying to make a score without your best stuff. And even though, yes, it's a major, if you're playing in the final group, if it's coming down to the 72nd hole, you've been playing well throughout that entire week. So there's just a level of confidence that you have already. So I'd be curious. Yes, it's a major championship, and it's the only major championship he wins. And Brookline has meant so much to him over his career as well.
Yeah.
It's where he it is where he won his USAM. But also, trying to help your brother get a tour card. Again, it's the pressure of, well, now, yeah, you're playing for yourself for the U.S. Open, but now you're playing for somebody else as well. We talk about that with the Ryder Cup and how that makes it so unique. But your brother's tour card on the line, and then to hit a shot like that is just really cool.
Yeah, I mean, he gives his brother an opportunity to
better his life.
Yeah, and create a core memory as brothers together, right? I mean, this is the fourth or fifth year that they've played in the Zurich together, and this was their chance to win it. And man, I think Brookline probably had more pressure. Just I think the individual aspect of it will always. And if,
but
and, I mean,
the bunker shot on Sunday.
It's a harder shot. They had to get up and down.
Objectively, it's a harder. Well, and they had to get up and down to win. They may Correct. Have gone on to win in a playoff. But I don't know about you, but I would rather have the 9-iron out of the bunker trying to hit the green and try to make a par than having a 35-yard bunker shot that I have to get up and down from.
I don't know. Was it? It was 35?
It was 35 yards, I believe, yeah.
That thing was sitting up, though.
Yeah, but it's still an awkward distance for a bunker shot. That is always one of the hardest shots in golf. The long... Okay, do I want to splash this out?
Bryson did at Pinehurst, that was the hardest shot in golf.
Yeah, but Bryson hit a really good shot, but he was a little bit of a chunk and run. You know what I'm saying? And again, I'm not trying to say that it wasn't a good shot, because it was. He executed the shot he needed to hit. To hit that saucy of a shot from 35 yards, to generate that kind of spin out of the bunker.
Yeah, he just clipped it perfectly.
Well, that's the only choice. Like a little heavier, a little thin, and it's, see ya. Best of luck trying to get up and down now to make par to just even force the playoff. A little bit chunky, it's still on the green, and you've got, you know, 30, 35 feet, you know, for Alex to potentially win it in regulation. But to clip that, you have to clip that shot perfectly. There is no margin for error, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I loved listening to Alex after the round when he talked about his adrenaline was pumping so hard that he couldn't feel his hands or feet.
Well, his reaction after his brother hit the shot, just like, holy crap.
Yeah, it just all became real.
Yeah.
I'd probably miss that one footer. Just feel like I would.
Look around your plate. This is good?
Yeah.
This guy is great.
I'd probably
just
pick it up. I was so excited.
On the women's side, Nelly Korda claimed her third major championship. First time that they have played at Memorial Park in Houston for the Chevron Championship, and she ran away and hid.
Yeah.
I mean, halfway through round three, she had a 7-shot lead. She goes on to win by 5 for her third major championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big ballpark that sets up really nice for Nelly. You can spray it everywhere. There's a reason Minwoo Lee got his first PGA Tour win there. Gary Woodland won this past year, who's a bomber. Nelly is just so much longer than most of the women on that tour. But kudos to her, man. I mean, for her to be able to, I think she played the final 29 holes at even par and still won by 5.
Yeah.
Like, that goes to show that you went out, you separated yourself. All you had to do was just get the train back on the tracks.
I believe she has only been beaten by 2 golfers this year.
Yeah.
In 5 events. She has 2 wins, 3 seconds, and has been beaten by 2 people.
And she's played in the final group in all 5 of those events. Crazy. Like, I know she didn't do the Asian swing, which was
she
kind
never
of,
does.
You know, a polarizing. We want Rory to play more. We want Nelly to play more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be an interesting thing to monitor over the next couple of years for both tours. Is you want to see the stars play, and you want to see them play the biggest events instead of them picking and choosing. And I think they both kind of fall into a category of their own. Of they're the needle now. Those two. In both sports.
Well, and as we've gotten closer to the end of LIV, as they have now canceled their events that it's going to be happening in Louisiana. Turns out it's going to be hot at that time in Louisiana.
It's so good that the Zurich ends in Louisiana on such a high note, and then LIV comes out and just, hey, we're not going to have our event there in June. No.
We're going to have it in fall, away from when it's struggles. So hot. Yeah, right in the middle of hurricane season, college football season, which is obviously huge in Louisiana, all these different things, but they'll spin it however they want to spin it. But the problem now is that has started to wind down, and the PGA Tour is trying to reshape itself. And again, I guess Rory is kind of doing kind of what Tiger did back in the day. Tiger picked and choose. Like, he was kind of the first guy to kind of do that of, oh, I don't have to play every week because the money's so big. I can just kind of do whatever I want. That's what Rory's doing now.
Yeah, and it was bigger then because Tiger was bigger than Rory is now.
Yes, 100%.
And I think golf still stays afloat without Rory.
Yeah, but it's better with him there.
Yeah,
and
we all want to watch him play.
But he's going to set up his schedule however he wants. And it's up to the tour to however they're going to reshape this. And it doesn't look like it's going to be that reshaped outside of Hawaii not being a part of 2027. It's going to be more likely 2028. How do you reshape this and set it up where you can't miss that many events?
Yeah, I think the way that these signature events are stacked right now on top of each other is the problem. And that's the solution for next season is we gotta spread these out into July a little bit more. We gotta get June a little bit more involved. I mean, it's Cadillac this week, Truist, and then Memorial. Those are the final three signature events of the season.
Yeah, that's
you gotta have them stretch into July and not stack them on top of each other. Or like we talked about last week, have the Heritage right after the Masters. Well, you just stretch it out.
That's the thing between the two majors. And again, the major season's already condensed enough. We've had that conversation. But to go major championship, signature event.
Team event.
Signature event, major. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
Think everyone's going to show up for every event there? They're not. And the reason why Scotty's skipping next week at Quail Hollow, or the week after at Quail Hollow, is because he's probably going to be playing the CJ Cup the week after the PGA in Texas, because he likes to play those Texas events.
Yep, exactly.
With an 18 unforgettable holes on 250 acres of natural private land, the Bog provides the ultimate golf experience. After your round, stop the clubhouse for food and drinks. Just call 262-284-7075 to book your tee time or visit golfthebog.com. Did Steven find something today?
Your boy found something.
We'll discuss next on the tee.
Forget about changing that dial. More on the tee with Gabe and Steven next on 94.5 ESPN.
Just 10th ranked public course in the nation. It's right here in Wisconsin. Of course, we're talking about Erin Hills. Charming overnight accommodations, championship golf experience, back nine pure elegance, as exquisite undulations that are perhaps the most striking on the tumbling fairway at hole 12.
Say exquisite undulations one more time for
exquisite
me.
Exquisite undulations.
That's a tough script, man.
It's a tough golf course.
It is.
Learn more, plan your trip, erinhills.com. All right, you were out at our place today. You were out at the old club, the Dub Club.
Hey, can we talk about something here?
Yeah, let's do that.
I've played 3 rounds in 2 weeks.
Holy! Whoa!
With one more on deck for this week.
What?
Your boy's about to play twice in back-to-back weeks. I played 20 rounds total last year.
I was about to say, what was in... And that probably included your trip to...
6 rounds on a trip. Yeah.
And to...
And probably... 4 rounds at Erin Hills, thanks to our friends.
So you played 6 on a trip down to Pinehurst.
Yeah, 5 in Pinehurst.
Five at Pinehurst.
At least 4 at Erin last year.
Okay.
I was spoiled thanks to the Women's Open.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. We were out there quite a bit last year, now that you mentioned
it. Home away from home.
Yeah. But you were out at Wisconsin Club. Man, you're playing a lot of golf.
Yeah.
You're getting it in, buddy.
Kids are getting older. It's getting a little easier. You know, setting the childcare for my golf game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're trending.
You were out there today.
Yeah.
Did you find something in the game?
Big news.
And I think you not playing a ton last year, not a coincidence it wasn't your best golf.
Correct. And one part of my golf game that has probably struggled for 2 years now has been my chipping, my wedges, inside 30, 40
yards. 2 years?
5 years.
You hit me in the ass how long ago?
Oh, that was actually a full swing. That wasn't even a 40-yard wedge shot, 30-yard.
Still
yard.
A wedge shot.
But
it's
I,
on my cheek.
I was still the bruise. Been dealing with the yips. I'll say the word.
All right.
You know,
you're not scared of it.
Yeah. You know, just not confident anywhere around the green with a wedge in my hand. But saw this great Instagram video.
Oh, no.
From Rory McIlroy. And okay. I watch them all.
Yeah.
I see them all and I watch them all.
Because sure.
I'm searching, man.
Yeah.
And he got me locking my right elbow.
Okay.
I tried it all day today.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Got up and down a couple times?
I got to figure out the speed, right?
Sure.
It's
But you know, it feels good coming off the club face.
I feel like I'm using the bounce. I feel like I'm catching the center of the face, and it's just locking my right elbow and just not jabbing at the ball.
Yep.
Just, you know, a smooth motion, trying to channel my Ernie Els. But I think I'm onto something here, Gabe. We'll report back. But
well,
right
I mean,
now,
again, the great part is
I'm excited.
You've got another round coming up soon that you can test this out with.
Let me just enjoy today.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you've got that coming up. You're going to be able to test it out.
Yes.
We'll be back with more next week on the tee.
No yips next week.
Playoff basketball next.